chapter 4, 1 John. Verse 8. You with me? Did you find 1 John? This chapter is about testing the Spirit, at least the first part of it. I want to talk to you again today about God's love and it's unconditional toward us. We looked at how immeasurable it was last week, and today we're going to discuss the importance of believing that it's unconditional. God's love, as it's described in the Bible, to me is undeniably, clearly unconditional. And His love is expressed. That means it is absolutely, you're able to absolutely see it. But you have to want to see it. You have to want to have eyes and a heart and the Spirit that we talked about earlier in John 6:63. You've got to let the Spirit come into your life and lead you. You need to have a spiritual relationship. Just coming to a place of worship is not going to do it for you unless you come seeking. My Bible says, if you seek, you shall find, if you're seeking the right thing. And unbelievably, but of course, I believe you know this, if you seek the wrong thing, you're probably going to find it too, right? And it's going to tear you down. But God will never tear you down. It is His nature. It is His nature to love us. And it's expressed here very simply. We'll look at verses 7 and 8 here. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love." If you turn back to the beginning of this chapter, it says this. Just turn back to verse 1. Chapter 4, 1 John. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." By this, and here's how you test it. Here we go. It says, here's your test. This is starting in verse 2. It says, "You will know if you're dealing with the correct spirit. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." Are you with me? It's very early to get lost. I don't want you to get lost here. It's super early to get lost. Every prophet or teacher or leader or preacher, however you describe them, minister, Sunday school teacher, whomever, if they do not believe and profess that God came in the form of a man by the virgin birth and given this birth by the insemination of God's Holy Spirit, not of man's, if that person teaching you does not believe that, run from them. Get away from them, because they do not have love in them. They want to tell you what they want to tell you, not what God wants to tell you. Here's the proof of it. It says, verse 3, "Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." And here is why I tell you to run from them. Run. It says, what's it say? It's the spirit of who? The exact opposite of Christ. And if Christ is God, and if God is Christ, and if the Holy Spirit is God, and if God is the Holy Spirit, and if we believe in the triune God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we believe in Him, and we believe that He is love, the author of love, and the expression of love. If we believe that, then anyone who does not believe that is 180 degrees opposite from God. And they are not love, they are the opposite of love. can't imagine any of you or anyone that I meet to not want love, but guess what? There are people who don't want that. They want to spread chaos. They want to keep people upset. They want to tell stories. They want to do everything they can to cause a bad situation to get worse. They get joy out of that. That has nothing to do with Christ. The people that scream and yell on the airwaves or in different places that they call worship places that are constantly agitating the congregation about worldly things, about politics, about all the stuff in the world that has nothing to do with Christ, the people that stand in front of people and proclaim themselves to be teachers of the Word are not teachers of God's Word. They are from the Antichrist, because God is love. He is the author of love, and He is the author and the finisher of my faith. I don't even have faith without Him. I can't love my significant other and my children and my grandchildren unless I have love from God, because God is the author of love. He gave me love. He loved me. He loved me to life on the cross of Calvary. He expressed Himself as has never been done in the history of the world. And you say, well, many people have died. We saw those crosses at picture we put up there at Arlington National Cemetery. We honor all of those people who died in the service to make it so that we can be here. We honor them. We thank them. But not one of them had the capacity to forgive me of my sins. Not one. Not one of them had the capacity to save my soul. Not one. Not one of them could hang there on the cross and look down and say, Father, forgive them. Meaning the entire world. Good men, good women, absolutely. They're a treasure. Thank you so much, God. And thank you for their lives and the lives of their families. Thank you, God. But they don't get first place in my life. Only God can get that. He is the only one deserving of that, because He can save my soul. But you have to believe that you need saving. And if you believe that you need saving, then you have to ask for unconditional love, because if there's any conditions attached to it, you'll never find the forgiveness that you're looking for. We do it all the time. I'll forgive you if. Rich said he was making a deal with a granddaughter here earlier. Do that all the time. That's an earth-based deal. But when I come to Christ and I say, I need forgiven, and if you mean it, He says, you are forgiven. Period. End the story. I told you last week, God says you don't even have to discuss it anymore. He remembers our sin no more. And then there's this crazy little verse here in 19 in this same chapter, 1 John chapter 4, that tells us why we should love Him. And after we've sought forgiveness and we receive forgiveness, we can say this with confidence. We can't say that we did the work of forgiveness, can we? Can you say that you did the work of forgiveness of all the world? Can you do that? I can't do that. This verse 19 says something that we need to understand. We love Him because He first loved us. Is any of this getting through? I asked Wednesday if anyone was ready to try to understand what the Lord is saying to us. I mean that sincerely. When we come to worship, when we come to Bible study, are we willing to hear His Word? Are we willing to take it in? Because if not, it's futile to be here. I can't do what I do for Him unless I believe that He forgave me and loved me before I came to Him. when a baby is born in this world, do you have anything against them? I mean, before they're born, right? I mean, before they're born, are you sitting around contemplating what you want to tell them about how bad they've been? One of these days, I'm going to get the courage up to ask my older girls what they wanted when they were young and screaming and crying. I always wanted, what do you, they couldn't answer me. They couldn't talk back then. They would just cry and cry and cry, right? And I said, what do you want? They couldn't answer me. Today, I want to ask them if they remember what they wanted way back then. Sad part of this. You just smiled. The sad part of this, if you research God's Word, there's a question asked in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs. And it says, can a mother not love a child? Yes. Does it mean birth mother means all of us. God's speaking to us through His Word. And we, in our heart, turn so hard and so cold that we can turn a child away and not love them. We can do the same thing for someone elderly. We can do the same thing for someone who is sick because they get in our way of our happiness and doing what we want to do. God never does that. He never puts you on hold. He never says, when you get better, I'll love you better. It's a special day for me to be able to bring you this word. For we love Him because He first loved us. Can you get that in your heart? Can you conceive of that? That someone loved you so much before you even really knew who you were. Many people are searching for who they are in this world, aren't they? Trying to find out who they are, trying to figure out what my path should be. God loves you in spite of every flaw of everything that you've ever done. He loves you first. Then we come to accept His love, and then we love Him for loving us. That's how it's supposed to work. He wants to be your father, your mother, your guardian, your savior, your love, the love of your life. He wants you to realize how much He loves you. There's some other beauty in this chapter that I want to share with you this morning too. Because if you have a true loving relationship, can it be based on fear? There's relationships where people will literally fight and break up and then make up. Fight, it's a cycle. Fight, break up, make up. Fight, break up, make up. It goes on all the time in husband-wife relationships. It even goes on in puppy love relationships. And people get geared to that type of thing happening in their life, and it becomes a cycle of life for them. They live for it. We counsel people that do that all the time. They like the makeup, and they like the breakup, and they like the fight. But it's not true love. It's just chaos in their lives, isn't it? It's chaos. And we do that in the world. Why have so many millions of people died in this world? It's because of the fighting. And then the breakup, and then later they try to make up, they try to sit at tables and figure out why they killed millions. It is the most ridiculous thing in the world for me to look at a negotiation table. And we should, don't get me wrong. We need people to negotiate with each other and sit down at a table and talk. We need that. We need diplomacy. It's overdue in this world. But if they would get God in the middle of it, they might find out that there was love before the battle. See these erstwhile enemies sitting at the table where millions of people have been killed. And now they're making a peace pact. Don't the lives of all those people who died mean anything? If they they would make that peace pact based on this unconditional love of God, then you'd have something, wouldn't you? But if it's just man stuff, if it's just worldly things, if it's just flesh stuff, the peace won't last, and my Bible says it won't. Because there will always be wars and rumors of wars and catastrophes and chaos caused by men and women's feeble hearts and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And that is the reason and the cause of all wars and all torment in our society. God is not like that. He has never been like that. Verse 18, if you would just look above that, you'd understand what I'm talking about. I better share it with you right now before you get lost. Therefore, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. If you're in a relationship that's chaotic and fearful, you need to do something about that relationship. You need to talk with each other. You need to get at the negotiating table, and you need God in the middle. Because He was already loving you before you had that fear in your heart. He can teach us to love because of His love. He loved us first, therefore we love Him. I can't back up 2,200 years ago and thank Him in person for going to the cross for me. I can thank the man for doing what He did for me, by saving my soul and telling me intimately, I believe this in my heart. It's that spiritual experience I've been talking about today. I know in my heart of hearts that God loves me and saved me, and there is a place for me that has nothing to do with war and hate and chaos. There is a place of peace, isn't there, Jim? I'll have that someday. Turn over to the fifth chapter. You have a Bible, mine is open, and I have the fifth chapter in front of me. He wants you to know that His love is so powerful that you can overcome the things of this world. And it's right here in chapter 5. I love this chapter. It says, in chapter 5, verse 4, it says this. It says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." You've heard the phrase, been born again, right? You believe that? They put us down for saying that. They say us evangelicals, which means professing the gospel. That's all evangelical means. But we are getting out the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Evangelizing. Trying to get out there and tell the world. We're trying to make, hopefully, have this church be an evangelical church that gets the word out about what happens here to the world. The world needs to know that we believe that God can solve the problems of this world. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. My faith. My faith has overcome every bad thing that could ever happen to me. Are you with me? They can only kill you, can't they? They can kill your body, right? They, whoever they is, but can they take your soul? Not if you've given it to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how many bullets they throw at you. They can't take your soul. For nothing can separate you from the love of God, right? Not powers above, not powers below, not anything in this world. Nothing, my Bible says, and I have goosebumps. My hair stand up on both my arms. Nothing can separate me from God's love. Nothing. And if you have God in your life, you have overcome this world. He, verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You believe that he came in the flesh for you and for me. It's, and now we have a description of this Jesus who came for me. It says, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. There is the three in one, and that's the next verse. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. We must believe that God's Holy Spirit is God. We must believe that God the Father is God. We must believe that Jesus Christ is God, and that He cared enough about you and me to come in the flesh, to leave that place in heaven, that place of safety, what we call it here at Vanderhoof, a place of safety, salvation, and hope. There's some concern about being safe in God's house, especially what happened after last week. And I understand your concern. And I want to tell you, and I told the people Wednesday night, and I'll tell you this today, there are certain people who I have trusted, and I have asked them to make sure that when they are here, that if anything should happen in this house, they would be able to protect us. Okay? You all right with that? Good. I don't have a permit. I don't have a worldly permit yet. But I have a heavenly permit to trust my God that He will protect me. If whatever comes against me in this chapter that we are just looking at now, whatever comes against me, I have overcome that. And there is no fear between myself and my God. I have a healthy fear of God Almighty because I don't understand who He is. Not fully. I never will because I don't have God's mind. But I do understand the person of Jesus Christ who came to save me. And I do understand His living Holy Spirit. Because not only do I feel Him, I hear Him, and I see Him. I know that He exists. You wouldn't be here today without God's Holy Spirit. You just wouldn't be. You wouldn't have experienced what you experienced today already without His Holy Spirit. You see, God's providing. He's already provided for you today. If we can just leave these doors with goose pimples saying, thank you, God, for giving me a spiritual experience today. Thank you for letting me feel something other than the cares and the chaos of this world. Thank you for giving me a little peace today, even if it's only for an hour and 45 minutes. Thank you, Lord. Look at the peace resting on Lisa's lap. And I would be saying the same thing if that baby were having a fit. Honestly. Babies cry out, they need something. Right? There's something going on. They're either wet, or dirty, or hungry, or they have a tummy ache. They can't express that to you any other way except crying out. And that's what God wants you to know today. It's okay to be a baby in Christ. Cry out. Ask Him. If you need something today, just ask Him for the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what George was speaking about earlier when he was recounting that prayer. I need in my life to have a feeling that surpasses all the junk of the world that makes me feel happier than I normally would without Him. I have Him, and nothing can take Him. I have one more scripture to share with you today. thank you for bearing with me. I know it's been a long day, but I've had a beautiful experience here today. I don't know about you. It's been an uplifting, soul cleansing, healing experience for me. And I thank God for it. I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans. We're studying that, by the way, in Bible study. And we're here on Wednesday nights at 6:45. We would love you to join us. We are studying God's Word. Romans chapter 5, if you would, please. This chapter starts out about making peace with God. We're going to start verse 5. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 5. You can hope for a lot of things in this world, and you can be disappointed, can't you? As a kid, we had cakewalks every Saturday night. Any of you experience that? These young people here today would go like, what in the world are you talking about? Well, it was a bunch of numbers painted on the ground. Lots of people brought cakes. You would pay 5 cents or 10 cents to walk around those numbers. The music stopped. You stopped on a number, and they would pull a number out of a hat. If you were standing on the right number, and you got a cake to take home with you. Sounds silly, but it was a time of fellowship. It was a time just to be together. Later on in life, I played in the band for that. We would go down there every Saturday night. We'd set up on the courthouse steps to play the music and just have a fun time with each other. But when I was a little guy, we would go down there. I remember one fair time. This was in the fall of the year at fair, county fair. They had a go-kart. And they were going to give that go-kart away to somebody. I cleaned my piggy bank out because I knew I had hope that I would win that, and I knew I was going to win that go-kart. And I stood in line, and around and around and around we went, and I didn't think they would ever pull that number. I won a couple of cakes, and I gave them back. I didn't want the cake. I wanted the go-kart. I still remember what it looked like, and I'd even got to sit in the seat of that go-kart. I was ready to race even then. Finally, they drew that number. And I was standing one number. I was disappointed. You ever heard of a conniption fit? I was close to that. Hope with God will never disappoint you. Ever. It was a time when I let the world get ahead of me, and I walked in the world, and I still walk in the world. You can't get out of that. But I walk a little differently now. I'm not bragging. I have my bad days. Believe me, I have my bad times. I need forgiveness every day for something that I should have done or something that I did do that I shouldn't have done. Amen, brother. So I'm just human, but I am trying my best to walk in that hope of a brilliant future and a better day today. We talked about that last week. God doesn't want you to just be looking at the future of glory over there in heaven. That's a done deal. That's settled, right? In fact, we looked at that word last Sunday. It says God's word settles it. It's done. You're going there if you believe. But what about today? I need hope for today, don't I? Well, with Jesus Christ, in my opinion, He will never disappoint. And here's the scripture. And then I promise you it will be done. It says this. It says, verse 5, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You have this being that's with you in the world that all you need to do is call upon Him and He will make His life with you. For today, this moment, this hour, when you refreshingly say, I give in, God, I want you to be my hero. I need you. I need saving. When you surrender your life, you've done something that will lift so many burdens from you, it's unbelievable. But some of us have to do this on a daily basis, and I'm one of them. I know I'm forgiven. I know I'm saved. But there are times in the day that I need to stop and thank Him. That's why I asked you this morning when we began worship, could you just worship with me for a little while because it might change your life. It might change today. It might change tomorrow. In fact, I believe that it will. If you would just start your day thanking God, having a devotion with Him. I thank those young people that wrote that card from Eastern. You know, when you're talking to a lot of young people, you don't even know if they hear you when you bring a devotion. But I brought just a very short little devotion to them, and they thanked us for it. Not only did they get fed the food, the real food that you can put in your mouth and digest, and thank you so much, everyone who contributed, but they also got a little bit of God's Word for guidance that day. We talked to them about depending on each other like we're supposed to depend on God. Hope does not disappoint. For when we were still, this is verse 6, and we're going to go down through 8, and we're done. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you believe that you're ungodly at some point in your life? Thank you. Are you still with me? I know it's getting late. Are you still with me? For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. This is not a put down. This is telling you how unconditional God's love is. He didn't say, don't come to church before you get, you've got to be saved before you walk through those doors. Man alive. Don't let anybody ever tell you that to get your life right before you come to God. Let them tell you this, and listen. God says, come to me, and I'll help you straighten your life out. I'll make it better. Come to me while you still believe that you're a sinner, and I'll do something about it in your life. I want to help you. I love you, and I loved you enough to die for you. Can you bear with me one more moment because we're not down to verse 8 yet? If you can't, go ahead and leave. I'll catch up with you in the parking lot, and I'll tell you about each one of these. I will run down the road by you, beside of you. I will chase you with my Bible. I will find you in Kroger. In the pudding aisle. That's right. I will not chase you. I will not run you down. I will never do that. I will just share God's love with you. And if you see me with a smile on your face, you ought to know why I'm smiling. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would die. and dare to die, but God, and you better underline this in your Bible. If I were you, I would. God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how perfect His love is. He died for us before we'd even committed the crime. He said, I know you're going to fail. I know that. And can you be so gracious with your children and your loved ones and your brothers and sisters and your husbands and wives? Can you be that gracious with them? I know that at some point in our relationship, I'm going to do something, but I've already forgiven you. We won't let that enter into our relationship. We won't do that. We won't let it have a cause and effect on our relationship. Whatever you do from this day forward, I will still forgive you. That's the kind of relationship God wants you to know that He has waiting for you that will believe. Not only before you sin, but even after that, when we fall short, He will still be there to forgive us. That's a relationship that it is hard for an average person or above average person to commit to in any relationship. To say to that person, regardless of what you do, you're forgiven. If you would like that relationship that never disappoints, then trust in God.